I remember Bob Goff posting an Instagram post not long ago that said, be the adult you needed when you were a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if there's one phrase, it's really that. Because when our kids experience that, when they experience love in their greatest need, it gives them the ability to go out and love other people. We love because he first loved us.
You're listening to the In This Together podcast with Dr. Josh and Christy Straub, a podcast dedicated to helping you live, love, and lead well as a spouse, a parent, and a human being.
Because no matter where you're at on your journey, you're not alone. We're in this together.
Welcome back to the In This Together podcast. Today we're talking about kids who can empathize. And if you listen to last week's episode, I almost think of it as sort of part one to this, where we talked about kids who can label what they're feeling, who can tell you what they're feeling. Can your kids do that? Do you do that in your home? And then, because if you do, if your kids can learn to label their emotions, they can be kids who empathize with others. And goodness knows, our world needs kids who can empathize with others. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Both of these things come out of our new kids book, What Am I Feeling? And we've really taken it from the basic building blocks of emotional intelligence and emotional safety, which is labeling emotion. But it is the next step is empathy. So if we are self-aware enough to know how we feel, if we can learn to self-manage our feelings, then we can also step into the shoes of another person and not judge or react, but respond with empathy.
And the second part, as Christy was just mentioning, the second part of emotional intelligence is, so last week we talked about that first part, which is self-awareness, as Christy said, that's personal competence. The second one is social competence, and that is your social awareness. So it's the ability to accurately pick up on what another person is feeling and why they're feeling that way. So it's my ability for Christy to know what Christy's feeling and why she's feeling that way about the fact that I didn't pull my own weight doing the dishes last night at dinner time.
But you see how important of a skill that is in life, right? But there are a lot of humans, adult humans, that do not know how to read how another person is feeling.
Well, and then beyond that, it's the ability to know not just why that person's feeling that way and what they're feeling, but the ability to use that emotional awareness, that self-awareness that you have of yourself and that other person to manage that interaction successfully.
Those are called geniuses.
So
those are the people that kick butt in life.
I love that. It's because it's my ability then to be able to know and humbly go, oh, Christy, I can tell you're something wrong with you right now. And it seems like you're angry. And for her to echo that by going, I'm fine, because that's how it would probably go, right? I'm fine. No, you're not fine. There's anger coming through your teeth. And you know what? What I've recognized is that I wasn't here because I slipped in to answer an email or two, and I wasn't here to help you do the dishes after dinner, even though it was my job, and I didn't pull my weight, and I'm sorry.
Mm.
Now I'm managing that interaction successfully. She might walk away still angry, but now that I've apologized in a humble way, now it's her ability to forgive me and have that emotional back and forth. And so, what am I feeling? We talked about it last week. Go listen to part one, because that self-awareness is so critical to beginning this idea of empathy and stepping into the shoes of another person. We're going to continue to talk about this throughout the podcast. So, because this is so foundational to raising great kids. It's foundational to what we're looking for in our kids. And I know we get caught up in the day-to-day stuff because that's where we're living right now. But pull yourself out and think about who are the adults you want your kids to become. Mm-hmm. And so as you do that, you realize this is the long haul stuff. So, the book releases next week, which is super fun. March 1st, What Am I Feeling?
Gosh, that's
so true. We want you to be able to go and get What Am I Feeling, talk to your friends about it, and share it on social media. We are super thrilled about this children's book, because what it's doing is it's putting emotional safety, emotional intelligence into the hands of parents and children together at the same time, where they're reading a story, interacting, and our children are beginning to learn what they're feeling and why they're feeling that way.
And I will just add, like, if you heard the last episode where Josh talked about the Google study, I mean, this is a really recent study where they found that emotional safety literally was the number one factor to their most successful employees. So I would posit in the years to come, we will actually see entire companies and hiring processes and actually education strategies moving toward teaching kids emotional safety, because they're finding again and again and again, it's literally making the most successful people in the world. And I'm not saying that just because that happens to be what we talk about, but because it's real.
And some of you might be listening and going, okay, this is all wonderful. What about biblically speaking? Let's go to James. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become
angry.
What about the Heavenly Father, how He treats us? Psalm 103. God our Father has compassion on us, just as the Father has compassion on His children. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast love. He doesn't always chide or shame. He doesn't treat us according to the way our sins deserve. You look at this and you look at the Father, you look at the way that we are taught we're supposed to watch our tongue. One of the most awesome verses in all of Scripture that really sums up what we're talking about here is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. It says, patience is better than power, and controlling one's emotions than capturing a city. Like, it is better to control your emotions than to capture a city. I mean, come on.
I'm not sure how many of us try to capture cities.
Cities every day. We have our own cities and our own little worlds that we're trying to capture and we're trying to conquer and we're trying to do. And I mean, that's not literal cities, but we have our things.
Power and control.
It's all about power and control. And there's a lot of people. Just go to Twitter. Go to Twitter. You want to see people trying to capture their cities and not controlling their emotions? Just take one glance at Twitter in this culture we live in today. You want to talk about raising kids who have empathy? Let's get off of Twitter. But nonetheless, that's where this begins. So it is the core.
That's the take home message. Get off of Twitter.
Yeah, get off of Twitter.
There are really mean people on Twitter.
There's a lot of people getting off Twitter too, which is awesome.
A lot of angry people.
Totally just a different
conversation. Sorry, that went somewhere else.
But when we talk about empathy, get off of Twitter. There's not a lot of empathy on Twitter. That's because empathy happens in face-to-face relationships. It happens with the ability to step into the shoes of another person. Mm. Why do you think Jesus asks us to forgive so much? 70 times 7. Why do you think He asks us to forgive so much? Because we see our own sin. It allows us to see our own sin. When we see our own sin, we have the ability to forgive other people who've sinned against us. But when we can't look inward and see our own sin, when we can't look inward and see our own humanity, our own fallen nature, we get prideful. We get self-righteous. And we have an inability to step into the shoes of another person and just see their world.
Yeah.
And sit with them in that world. Huh. And be okay with everything that they're feeling. And be okay to sit there.
Ooh.
Without trying to fix it.
Ooh. How many of us are like, ooh, like that sounds great, but ooh, I can't. I'm getting there, but I have had some really good therapy this year.
You have had some good therapy. It's been really good for our marriage too.
But I will say, I say that facetiously, but truthfully. But I really have been doing some really hard, good work on me to get to that place, because I wasn't there. But I also didn't have the bandwidth really to get there before. But I'm doing it now.
So why is this important? So this is important because in the What Am I Feeling book, we have these characters not just understanding what they're feeling and why they're feeling that way and being able to recognize emotion, but what happens is then as the book closes, they start to see what their friends were feeling and the body language that they were showing off as a result, the nonverbals of those emotions.
Yeah.
So that they could begin to study that and see that and just go, man, I didn't take into consideration your feelings on this situation.
And honestly, you actually will see this in children's classrooms more than you probably would in workplaces with so-called adults, kids will be typically better. And in the book, they resolve, they once they start to recognize, and the teacher, their teacher starts to walk them through how people were feeling, that empathy, it is there. It is there for us as humans. I just think we shut it down. As the more wounded we get, as we go through life, we become more jaded and guarded, and we don't jump to empathy. I don't care. You're angry. I don't care. You're just an angry person. Look, I mean, listen to me talking about people on these angry people on Twitter. I don't have empathy for them. I'm just mad that their anger comes out and it hurts other people. But the empathy that you will see often in children, it becomes, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry that how my anger affected you. And Alex, who is the character who is struggling with anger in the book, does apologize. He apologizes for how his anger made Sophie cry. And so, and then you'll see it go down the line, but you'll see how when we can actually step into empathy for another person, the relationships resolve, they heal, the bond becomes closer, they become more attentive to one another. And really that's true in relationships. If we can truly empathize and be teachable, because teachability is critical. If you're not teachable, then these emotions are just going to be feelings in your body. If you can't be taught that when I feel this, my jealousy, my anger, some of the more negative labeled emotions, how they affect other people, because they do. That's what you recognize. Even happiness affects other people. But as you start to respond to one another with empathy and teachability, these relationships heal. And you see these kids heal in relationship with one another.
Well, and what's fascinating about it is, and I'm just going to throw out another verse, you know, it says, in your anger, do not sin. The Bible doesn't tell us we're not supposed to be angry. The Bible just tells us not to sin in anger. And, you know, you made a great point, Christy, about the Twitter, right? It's so easy to judge people on Twitter who are just bashing one another. And this is why we need, this is why the world needs kids who can empathize. And
can you imagine, let's just say, can you imagine being free enough, empathetic enough, self-aware enough to look at a Twitter feed of just hateful, angry people and be like, I am just not react to their anger and come, because typically you respond with that emotion. I'm going to be angry back at you.
We mirror the emotion that's being thrown at us.
Yes. But instead, taking a breath, to be free enough in your own self to look at that and be like, I can't imagine what they've walked through, what they carry. I can't imagine what that feels like to be that stirred up in anger all the time.
Towards something or
towards
somebody.
Something. And
somebody
you feel
they don't
even
know.
Do you feel the freedom that you can to walk away? You can let them sit in their anger and you can walk away and you're still free. That's the power of being able to be aware and then manage our emotion.
Yeah. And to set that example. So I think what's really powerful is what we said there is we mirror the emotion we receive. So as it relates to our kids and raising kids who empathize, they mirror our emotions. So, and if you go to Instagram, I posted a picture on this and a post on this not long ago, but about mirroring emotion and how our children, so, you know, it starts from an early age, dropping a pot on the floor in the kitchen that makes a loud noise and your infant, like startling, what's your infant's doing? Your infant or toddler is looking to you to see, is it okay? And your reaction to that response will tell that baby whether to fear or whether everything's okay. And so if we're constantly scared about situations and we're talking about situations and we're scared, we're going to create that fear in our kids. We mirror the emotion we receive. Our kids mirror the emotion they receive. This is why it's so important for our own, this is why we constantly talk about doing your own work.
Yeah.
Because the more you do your own work, the more self-aware you are, the more you're able you are to help your kids organize their own feelings.
And you may need to just, you've maybe never sat with that, but if you grew up in a home where anger was prevalent, you likely feel a lot of anger. If you grew up in a home where sadness or even someone struggled with depression, you likely will feel sadness or depression. It's not something to fear. It's something to just be aware of. It came from your family of origin. That's why we talk about, I know Josh talks about in Safe House, like doing it's like a family tree, but basically you look at the relationships and the relationship patterns and things that even the self-medicators, the things that the people in our family lineage struggled with, because you'll just see they just get passed down from generation to generation. But if we do our own work, we're able to break those cycles. When it talks about the sins of the fathers are passed to the third and the fourth generation, but that is real. That is true. But we get to be the cycle breakers. We get to be the ones that say, I'm going to deal with this and do my own work to become as self-aware as I possibly can and healthy, so that my children are growing up in a different environment. And I just think there is such power in just the realization we don't have to be victims anymore of our past or even our family sin, our cycles of sin. We get to be the writers of a new story.
And we want to, when we come back from the break, we want to introduce you to what am I feeling right now. But when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what is the foundation for this? What is the foundation for being able to sit with our kids to get them to come to a place where they can empathize with other people?
Did you know that a child's ability to put words to what she is feeling is linked to both success and faith later in life?
That's because the more self-aware we become about what we're feeling, the better able we are to manage our behavior and make good decisions.
That's why we wrote What Am I Feeling? A new children's book that brings parents and children together to talk about emotions.
It's show and tell day at school, and Sam and his friends are feeling lots of emotions.
After several unchecked feelings threaten to ruin the big day, Sam and his friends start to learn how to give each emotion a name and ask God to help them remember that a feeling is just a feeling. It's not in charge of you.
In a world where kids are dealing with everything from sibling rivalry to bullying, divorce to tragedy, What Am I Feeling offers a biblically grounded way for kids to manage big feelings in a little body and develop empathy for others.
Check the show notes today to order What Am I Feeling, releasing March 1st.
Welcome back. We are excited. Go tell people about the book. Go get the book. I'm going to unashamedly say go get the book. And the reason is because we believe it has such value for your kids and for your family.
Yeah.
This is something we have thought through, prayed through for many, many years. And we're excited about it. And we just believe that these are the conversations that need to be had in our home. And so the foundation for this, so let's talk about that. What is the foundation for this? Why is this so important? And how does it lead to kids who can feel other people's emotions? This is what I was talking about in part one, where I talked about giving feelings charts. And there's a feelings chart that comes in the book that you can pull out as a poster, hang it on your refrigerator, and get your kids to label their emotions. But it's the first thing that I would give juvenile delinquents or any teenager that I would work with, is to get them to label emotion, because they didn't even know what they were feeling. And if you don't know what you're feeling, it's hard to have remorse for another person to understand why they're feeling the way that they are. A person that you might have victimized, a person that you might have hurt or have wronged in some way. It's hard to know what they're feeling and have remorse for it if you don't know what you're feeling. And so,
a dramatic example would be like narcissists or sociopaths, where there literally is no...
there's no emotional awareness of what... yeah, it's just...
that's like the extreme version. But there's a lot of us that walk around with just a lesser degree of that. They just don't really care how other people feel.
Well, it's not even care. It's a lack of awareness. It's just a lack of having had that happen to them. Mm. I remember Bob Goff, if there's one phrase I think that you could sum this up in, I remember Bob Goff posting an Instagram post not long ago that said, be the adult you needed when you were a child. Mm-hmm. And I think if there's one phrase, it's really that. Because when our kids experience that, when they experience love in their greatest need, it gives them the ability to go out and love other people. We love because he first loved us. Mm. So love your neighbor as yourself. Difficult to love a neighbor if you don't love yourself, if you're not self-aware. So what does this look like? The foundation for this, and the foundation really for what it means to be safe and to give your kids that trampoline, that platform to bounce out into the world and have empathy for others, is love minus fear. Love over fear. And we know if 1 John chapter 4 says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. When you go to the research, I love the top, arguably the top neuroscientist in the world right now is a guy named Dr. Daniel Siegel. And he says this: in attachment, we need to be open to our child, feeling that safety in ourselves and creating the sense of, quote, and I quote, love without fear in our child. So here's the reality. What ends up happening is we tend to parent out of fear. Our fear of our children turning out a certain way. Mm. Our fear of our children not listening and being disobedient. So therefore, I have to come down hard. I have to parent out of fear. It's fear-based parenting. You will listen to me right now or else. Or as I talked in the first episode, part one last week, about how we spank when our kids are angry, mad, sad, or anxious. We spank. That's one of the mistakes we make in terms of allowing our kids to feel, is rather than punishing out of really disobedience, punished feelings.
Instead of disciplining the behavior, we're punishing the emotion. And I know as a girl, my counselor had said this to me, thought it was so wise. Good girls are typically taught that anger is a bad feeling to have. So good girls often are not allowed to express anger or get the message that anger is not something I'm supposed to express. Masculine boys, or boys who have fathers that are very, you know, kind of rough and tumble and super, you know, come across very masculine, are often given the message that feelings like sadness are not okay feelings to have. So those are punished. You know, boys don't cry. Boys don't, you know, sometimes it feels like subtle, feels like you're trying to help them to get stronger, but the message becomes, I'm not allowed to feel. So like, I know with our daughter, one of the things that I am working to get out of her is anger, because she will sit and it actually transitions to sadness. Often if anger is like trapped in a body, it'll come out in tears. Especially for females. That's for me. It comes out in tears versus actual anger. But if you can get them to punch a pillow, or if you have a safe place where they can just get their anger out and let them release, half the time it's just a release of energy that's needed. So if it is a punching bag, or if it is a pillow or a mattress or jumping up and down. And again, these are things like, I remember Daniel Tiger. Do you remember the Daniel Tiger episode where he's angry and the mom tells him to stomp? Some parents hate that episode because they're like, now my kid's stomping. Like, they just found another way to like, but anger is one of those emotions we typically don't like our kids to express. They have to express anger somehow. So I get, especially like if you lived in a super aggressive home, where there was violence, you may be really triggered by watching your kid react in anger and doing something that may trigger you. And that makes sense. Absolutely. So find a way for your child.
Healthy ways.
Yes. Healthy ways for your child to release anger. It's not damaging to people. It's not. So that means you, if that affects you in a really negative way, find a way. If you say, bud, I get that you're super angry right now, that's fine. But you will A, not speak to me that way, or B, you will not, I don't want you to, you can't hit your sister, you can't hit the dog. This is what you can do. Here's your punching bag in the garage. Go, 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 go. And you give them a place. So you're setting the healthy boundaries that like, we don't let emotions just like fly out of us whenever we want, but we do release them, because that energy release, whether it comes in tears for sadness, whether it comes in joy, like dancing, and like joy needs to come out too. We need to let that emotion out of our body instead of suppress it all the time.
And so the more that we can love and be that foundation for love, feeling that safety in ourselves so that we create a sense of love without fear in our children, perfect love casts out fear. The more that we can experience the love of the Father and our kids have that foundation, it gives them the ability then to, and in the book, we end with they're playing on the playground, they're experiencing negative emotions, and their friends are, or you know, they're playing on the playground, and the way the book ends is they're being able to now see negative emotion in other people. But not only are they able to see it, they're able to go do something about it.
Yeah, and they're not threatened by it.
They're not threatened by it. They're not fearful of it. Because why? Their identity is found somewhere else.
Yeah.
Their identity, their safe place is at home. Yeah. Their safe place is with you. They have a safe place to go. If I'm going to be rejected, if the anger is now coming out from Alex, angry Alex, is angry at me. He's the character in the book. If angry Alex is angry at me or expressing his anger towards me, I don't take it personally because I realize there's something deeper going on within Alex. Mm-hmm. There's something else that made him angry. And rather than me mirroring that emotion and getting angry back at him,
or carrying it home, yeah,
or carrying it home, or feeling rejected, feeling like I'm left out,
the shame or guilt or something that you've done,
I'm now able to, as another child who's a peer of Alex, enter into his world and say, you know what? I'm sorry you're so angry. I'm able to sit with that. Even if those emotional bullets are being shot at our children, they're able to come home secure. No, that's not going to always be the case. But if they're not, they're at least able to come home and talk to you about it. And you can help them find more love and security at home, even in that emotion, so that they can go back out into the world the next day and love well again, no matter what other people are feeling. Because we don't enter into the world. None of us enter into the world with happy-go-lucky people all the time. Like, no. We're getting emotional.
And please know that's not normal or expected, or that's like the ideal.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we think that that's what we're aiming for. It's not. It's not even reality. But to be able to feel the whole range of emotion, that is. That's the good stuff.
Yeah. That's the really good stuff. That's the goal.
And this is a work for all of us for the rest of our lives. And that's not a hopeless thing. That's just we get to keep walking that direction, and we get to keep getting freer and happier. We get to become more comfortable in our own skin. Hmm. So that the judgments or the opinions of others, they don't carry the weight they used to. And that's what I want for my kids. That's what I want for me.
Which is why we're doing therapy. It's why we're constantly trying to be better human beings ourselves,
yeah,
so that we can be growing for our own kids. Because our kids, you hear us talk about, they become who we are. And so we want to be those people that can navigate emotions well. It doesn't matter what we're feeling.
And if this is something you've never really thought about or done much work, that actually is super normal and makes a ton of sense. And I just want to say, that's just great. Just start right there with a little bit of curiosity or a little bit of like, I think I want to start like putting a toe in the water and heading towards, I don't know. I mean, so often I think people throw out phrases like, I'm going to therapy, or I'm doing, you know, work on myself. And you're like, what on earth does that mean? Like, what are you doing? That's okay. And your journey is going to look very different than everyone else. So please don't compare. Please don't try to emulate what anyone else has done. I would say that this book might be the first step in that direction. It may just start a conversation and an awareness, and that's really where you start. It's where you start for your kids, but you could start there too. And I would just encourage you, follow that curiosity, follow that that little glimmer of like something that sparkles and shines. I have a friend who says that those things that just kind of stand out to you, they're probably different than the current world or life that you live. But just follow that just a little bit, because often what's there, it's God. It's His Holy Spirit who's just pulling you along, like, son, daughter, like, I have more for you. And it starts over here. Like, this is the next step in your journey. And I'm not one to tell you what that next step is going to be. But He knows. And I would just say, start walking that way, because there is fullness of life awaiting you.
Well said. And I would just encourage you, find your own triggers. Find the emotions that, you know, even as you read, what am I feeling with your kids? It could bring up things within you to go, you know what? Ooh, like, yeah, angry Alex. I don't think I could handle angry Alex.
Totally.
Or maybe it's jealous Jenny. Or maybe you identify with that character.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, that's me. And
so often you identify it, and therefore you want to shut it down in your kids. If you've struggled with sadness or depression,
mic drop.
It triggers something in you. So you become so afraid, I will not let my child walk this way. And that's that fear-based parenting, where we either repeat what our parents did or we react and we go the other opposite and like, our kids will not be this. And then we often do a whole lot of other things. We put them in all these activities and we're trying to cultivate a life for them that we didn't have. And none of that is really going to get us the outcomes we essentially want.
And I think the other thing too with this, and this is where it's really, really important for us to understand, is busyness also is a deterrent to entering your kids' world, because there's so much screaming for our attention that often we get caught up in our to-do lists and our kids are off, you know, having negative emotions. And we just are like, oh, just calm down, just get over it. Like, get, and we
out of expediency, we're just trying to, like, this is inconvenient right now. We got to shut this down.
Yeah. And we dismiss their emotion altogether. And there might be times where that's appropriate. You have to get out the door. You're going to be late for school or something like that. But you know, you're able to say, we're going to come back to this because this matters.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to revisit this. Right now we can't, but I really want to revisit this with you. And you're able to sit with them in that.
Can I, my last thing, and I don't, this is no soapbox, but it might sound like one. In episode, the first part of this, when we talked about what do my kids feel? Are my kids able to talk about what they're feeling? But then we've moved toward empathy. We talked about self-medicating. So whatever it is that we do to numb feelings, I would also ask that question for your kids. What do they do to numb feelings? Because they will do the same thing. And I'm going to throw it out there that it's likely to do with screens, because it's one of the things that we hand children from an early age now that allows them to dissociate from the world. It numbs their real feelings and they enter into the fake world of other people. So I would just put that little nugget or seed in our brains for all of us to just be aware. We've never said screens are bad or to cut them out completely, but we need to be super aware that we are conscious of that fact, that this taken to an extreme or even just a reliance on becomes a numbing effect for our kids. And you'll find those kids that are addicted to gaming or screens, who spend a lot of time on screens, they don't have joy. They don't have empathy because they're not in face-to-face relationships with other people. They don't know how to go down to the creek and just play and find wonder and be creative anymore, because all of those feelings have been so numbed. And I just say, like, that's maybe one of the biggest things that we're going to confront in our generation of parents to do with our kids feeling. We're going to have to start toning that down to let them feel.
And which this brings up a ton of different questions, not any of them that we can get to in today's episode, but is it ever okay to numb out? Is it ever okay to numb emotions? Is it ever okay just to watch a Netflix episode? Is it ever okay to...
It better be, because...
Do those types of things. But I think these are important questions to have. And totally. And what I want to throw out to you is, if you're listening, these last two episodes, we go deep. And I hope if deep isn't good for you, then you, I hate to say it, but go find another podcast. I don't know. Like, we go deep because I think deep matters. To truly live, love, and lead well, we want to go there. We want you to go there. And So,
I would say that's essentially what we're all craving for. We need depth. I mean, it's really what we were designed for and made for. We've just forgotten how to do it because we live in a society that lives in the shallows.
Great point. If you have questions that come up out of these episodes, submit them. Ask them. We want to hear them.
And it may stir up some heavy stuff in you, and we get that absolutely. We do not do counseling, just so you all know, though that is our background. So we do coaching now, which is more forward focused. Counseling is more dealing with those past stuff. So if that is something that you're dealing with, absolutely, referring to a counselor is probably a great spot to start for you. And we would be happy to help point you in the right direction.
Absolutely. That's a great point. And so ask us questions. Go to inthistogetherpodcast.com. Look at the button there that says submit a topic or a question. Hit that. Do that for us, and we will address these questions that you have. But the book is going to release. Go get your copy.
I'm so excited.
Get it online.
I really hope you love it.
Link in the show notes. Read it to your kids, and then tell us about it. Go put a review on Amazon. Go let us know.
I hope it's a kind one.
And if it's not,
that's okay.
It's okay.
I'm getting healthier. I think I'll still be able to deal with it. Yeah.
Just no personal attacks.
That wouldn't be very kind.
Because you don't really know us that well.
Well, you kind of know us
barely. A little bit.
Yeah.
But just be kind. And be factual. And give us reviews. No, seriously. Give us reviews. Tell people about it.
Basically, we just
sit with your kids.
We hope it's helpful. We hope you love it.
Yeah. And we hope that it's the beginning of giving your kids an opportunity to talk about emotion. And
your kids are going to be the kick butt kids later in life. They're going to be adults who are phenomenal. And I can't wait to see what they look like.
We love you guys, and we'll see you next week. Check out inthistogetherpodcast.com for previous episodes and to subscribe. If you have a question or a topic that you'd love us to cover, hit the submit button there on the page.
And we would also love if you would leave us a review. Your reviews mean so much to us and help others learn about the podcast. You can also find us on Instagram or Facebook. And for coaching and speaking inquiries, visit our website at drjoshandchristy.com.
Until next time, press in and live in the moment.